Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry because I love these.
Tony Basil, Pooping in the Potty, and the Scream movies, all of this and more on today's How Did This Get Made? Mini episode. Hit the theme!
This is the show you've been waiting for. Yes, less Jason, less June, and instead give me more. Just Paul. Well, I wanna hear your thoughts on the world and all. Just make it a short one.
A mini episode.
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to a How Did This Get Made mini episode. I'm Tall John Shear, and this is the only mini podcast that is going to give you the most up-to-date information about all of your How Did This Get Made needs. Today on the show, Jason and I get into a big old-fashioned quar chat, and there are still so many more things that we need to discuss, so we'll be coming back again to break into all the important news about Boba Fett and Peacemaker, because we didn't even touch on those when we recorded this. But we know that we have to. And we know one thing more than anything else. How Did This Get Made fans love hearing Jason and I talk about Star Wars. They want to hear more of it. But besides Jason, we are also going to get into my favorite movie of all time, The Voyage of the Rock Aliens. You had a lot of opinions about it, and we are going to break it all down for you. Plus, I'm going to tell you what is in store next week. And first, a big thank you to Quinn for that amazing opening theme. Thank you, Quinn. Before we get started, just wanted to let you know that Jason is in the brand new Hulu series, Pam and Tommy, as Tommy Lee's penis, which is taken from a passage in his book where he had to talk to his penis about falling in love. You can also check out True Story on Peacock, that is hosted by Ed Helms and Randall Park. Adam Pally and I reenact a true story about a man who broke into the Steelers locker room after they won the Super Bowl. And it's a super funny show. It's kind of like Drunk History, but with a different spin. But enough of my Hollywood bullshit. You have problems, and I'm here to solve them. It's now time for the Paul Helpline.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bionic Limbs. Great theme. Let's get into it. Andy and Austin, what do you got?
Hey, Paul. This is Andy from Austin, Texas. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to see if you could offer maybe some advice to me. So I am a very bad gift giver, especially when it comes to my spouse. And every year I kind of get brash and cocky and think I thought of the perfect gift. And every year it ends up being a major disappointment. Happened again this year at Christmas. But I do sort of thankfully have the opportunity to redeem myself because her birthday is in February, towards the end of February. So I can kind of figure out something, you know, to make up for Christmas by then. But I was just wondering if you had any advice, being a, you know, married man yourself with seeming pretty successful in the love life, if you, you know, had any tips for finding the right gift for someone, making sure it was something that they wanted. You know, my girlfriend really wants, like, useful things and lasting things. She doesn't like gimmicky things, and that's what I always end up kind of going for, unfortunately. You know, I think she'd rather get, like, a power tool than, like, a diamond ring. So she's kind of that person. But, yeah, I just wanted to see if you had any advice for me. Thanks so much, Paul, and keep up all the good content.
Dude, you got your answer already. You know what your problem is. You go gimmicky. You don't get her what she wants. You know what she wants. You just told me what she wants. But if you need me to say it back to you, I will say this. Listen to what she says she's into and then get her that. Don't feel like you need to, like, match what society says is a good gift. If she doesn't want a diamond ring, you don't have to get her a diamond ring, although it doesn't seem like you're getting her a diamond ring. It seems like you're getting, what is a gimmicky gift? Are you getting her, like fake vomit? Anyway, listen to her, engage with her. I think your want is there. You know where you have a deficit. So just, it worse comes to worse. In the middle of January, well, now we're at the end of January, start, you know, just having a conversation. Oh, yeah, do you want one of those? Or how, like, figure out a way to get her talking about the things that she wants or she's into. Mark it away and then have it for her birthday. You got it. You're there. You're doing great. You're doing great. You already know where the problem is. So just keep on doing what you're doing. But just but don't save it for the last minute. You got to do a little bit of that work. You got to do a little bit of that inner, you know, massaging to get out exactly what she might be wanting, but she's not advertising that she wants. I do that with June. It works. Just have to be active listener. Anyway, next call from Danielle.
Hey, Paul, this is Danielle from Denver, and I'm calling in need of your parenting tips. So my husband and I have two sons, or as June likes to say, sons, until they tell us otherwise. One is 3 and the other is 7 weeks. So newborn. The 3-year-old recently started having a real hard time staying in his room after we put him to bed. He'll try to sneak out and head downstairs, or he'll scamp around the hallway, linger by our door, run away when we spot him, or he'll just keep himself up by playing and talking to himself in his room for way too long. We think a lot of this is a reaction to the change with the new baby brother in the house, of course, but also, another thing is he won't poop in the potty, which, by the way, is a phrase I would never say out loud until having a toddler. So he has to go before going to bed really badly because he's been holding it in because he won't go in the potty, and then eventually goes in his pull-up, and it's this whole ordeal every night. So I think it's just like this anticipation of knowing that he's going to go soon, and it's keeping him up. Kind of a mixture of a few tricky things here. But anyway, would love any tips and tricks you and June may have accumulated through the years for both getting your sons to stay in their bedroom at night and not coming out until an acceptable hour in the morning. We try to keep it at like 7 a.m. is acceptable. And also for pooping on the potty. So huge fan of the show. Also a proud deep diver. And thanks so much for everything. Bye.
Danielle, pooping in the potty. Look, I hear what you're saying. These are very tough things to deal with, and everyone has a different way of doing it. And I don't pretend that I'm going to be able to solve anything. First of all, I'll say this. Staying in the bedroom until 7 a.m., God bless. God bless. That is not, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, unless your kids are real sleepers. I mean, my kids, no way. 6:30, 6:45, sure. 7, forget about it. You can get one of those clocks, you know, the clocks that have, like, don't get out of bed until it turns yellow. You can make sure that they have enough things around their bed so if they do get up, they can hang out in their bed. You can give them a fun assignment to do. You know, if they get up out of their bed, like, hey, I want you to do this in the morning before you come in. And you're going to set those rules. And I think that the clock with the light is a good way to kind of start setting parameters. Some kids take to it, some don't. I think it's a very specific thing. I've talked to parents who have reversed the lock on their doors so the kids can't get out. I'm not going to advocate that. I didn't do that, but I know that that kind of works as well. The truth is, you're right. Your kid is reacting to you having another kid and wanting attention. And so I think what my big takeaway would be is find some moments. And I know it's so hard right now as a new parent to find any time for anything, but find those moments where you can genuinely connect with your older child. Give them attention, give them love, do special things, one-on-one outings, time, snuggles. I know that you are overwhelmed. I know that you are just burnt out. And the last thing you want to do after you get your youngest down is to now like spend even more time, like everything. I mean, my bedtime sometime lasts until like 9:30 because I'm snuggling or I'm talking and I'm there. And yes, there are a million things I want to be doing, but it's important to have that time. So you or your partner can both make that time and really try to find it. As far as potty training is concerned, I mean, like I said, these are giant things. They're going to find it when they find it. They're going to get comfortable when they do. I would say don't force it. Make it pleasurable. Make it fun. Make going to the bathroom an event, even if that event is just you and your partner with, or, you know, one or the other with them. No rush, no muss, no fuss. I mean, I used to be so upset that my youngest wouldn't pee before bed. And, it took us a little while to get him in that zone. My oldest still won't go to the potty in a public place. Oh, actually, he will. Now he will. But there was a time when he wouldn't. You know, poop and pee is a tricky thing. Just try to make it a routine. Take the pressure off. Don't penalize. Don't make them feel bad. Just make it part of the fun. You go take a bath. You do this. You do that. It's just like we're having fun. And I think that that will help. I know that they always say that these are the things that could, you know, if you rush them or you yell at them, could, you know, create issues in the future. Although I don't know if that's true. Is that an old wives' tale? I'm still trying to figure out if I should put the edge of the, like the last piece of the bread from the bread loaf at the end. Like, do I need to do that? Is that just, does it make the bread stay fresher? I don't think so. Anyway, I hope that helps, Danielle. I know it's a lot. I'm giving you three good tips, but take the pressure off, spend more time, even though it's hard to, that attention and love, I think will help crest a few of these things. And if they understand why and you really speak to them and try to create things that make it fun for them to stay in bed. But 7, I say, let go of that. Let go of that dream. Anyway, if you want some help from somebody who knows a couple of things, but not everything, give me a call at 619-728-5275. That's 619-728-5275. And if you want to make a theme for the show, you can do it. Just write, record it, and send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. 30 seconds or less. That's a sweet spot. I got to tell you, any bit longer, you've overstayed your welcome. So without any further ado, I challenge you to come up with amazing songs like our good friends, Bionic Limbs, and, of course, Quinn. All right, we'll be right back right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new cinnamon crunch now at a retailer near you and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com.
I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah. Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required.
Now, while you're preparing for next week, it seems like we might have dropped the ball on some things from last week's episode. We are now turning the show over to you as you give us some corrections and omissions. Ian Paddington, please, with the theme. Thank you, Ian. Yes, we have culled through the dozens of voicemails and hundreds of How Did This Get Made messages on our Discord to find the best observations, theories, fact checks, and useless research. We present them all here. Buckle up. There are some doozies. Let's go to the Discord. Rob from Long Island. Oh, I love Rob from Long Island. A great songwriter as well as a great poster. He goes, when ABCD invites Dee Dee to his planet, she gets excited about her career. ABCD stops her and asks, wait a minute, how do you feel about me? Do you love me? Dee Dee replies, I think so. And ABCD lets out a relieved sigh. I'm glad to hear that. And immediately tells her she needs to get an emolectomy so she can't feel love. Why does ABCD crave her love when he can't feel any for her? And why does he want to take her love from him? Look, you know, this is an age-old question, right? I mean, we penalize ourselves. And I think ABCD wanted to feel like she was going with him because she wanted to, right? So I think he wanted to make sure she wasn't just going there for success. But on the other hand, this movie makes no sense and no one really thought it through. So I feel like it was funny to say that she would have no emotions, but yet they would have sex. So sex is neither pleasurable for them, although they seem to say that it is. Anyway, I go back to my second point. This movie was written without much thought. But I would say this, him taking away her emotions, I think, was to make her more like him, not to rid her of something. Like maybe in his mind, emotions complicate sex, relationships, career. And, you know, truthfully, they do. You know, if we all had no emotions, I think that we wouldn't feel and we wouldn't care. And we would live probably more happily, if not just completely dead inside. And that makes this movie a whole hell of a lot darker. Although, yet they seem passionate by music. So again, I go back to my point. This movie makes no sense. B-Sweets writes, Paul seemed to think that sex was plentiful, but I think the alien was saying that they never have sex, but doing it in a Catskill-style joke. Oh, okay. My wife wants to have sex almost every night. Almost on Monday, almost on Tuesday, almost on Wednesday. Oh. Okay. All right. So they never have sex. They just almost, so they get close to it. Is that the joke? I mean, I guess that's the joke. I'm not coming down on you, B-Sweets. I think you're trying to lay the joke down, but the way he said it, it felt like they were having sex. I do want to continue this conversation. Please, if you think that they are having sex or not having sex, let me know on the Discord, because I do think they're having sex, but I also feel like this is not beyond the movie to make this kind of joke. And if that's true, then is he like a henpecked husband, or is he, again, these characters are, they contain multitudes. Honestly, they contain multitudes. I don't know how to think about them. Arrowsdale writes, it should be noted that the Rock Aliens robot 1359 was voiced by the legendary voice actor Peter Cullen, perhaps most famous for voicing another robot. Yes, of course, it is Optimus Prime from Transformers. So look at that. Let's just say that this movie is a tie-in with Transformers. Michael Bay, if you make another movie, please get Robot 1359 in here, because I think it would be a great addition to the Transformers franchise, and bring back Shia LaBeouf. Let's go to the phones. Natalie from Australia, what do you got?
Hey, Paul. This is Natalie from Australia. Thank you so much for introducing me and the whole world to Voyage of the Rock Aliens. What an amazing new era of my life I've moved into. I just actually wanted to mention something about the music. There's a song, one of the many bangers in there, called My World is Empty Without You, and it's actually sung by a really well-known Australian rock singer. And when I looked into it a little bit more as I was dancing around the room, I realised that the same guy, John Farnham, he also sings the theme song to Rad, as well as two or three other songs from Rad. So just a really nice little addition to the Spotify playlist, Voyage of the Rock Aliens and Rad mashed together, and felt really nice to be a part of it from the other side of the world. Thanks so much again, and thank you so much for Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Bye.
That is amazing. I mean, look, Rad had some bangers too. As a matter of fact, want to hear a little taste of that Rad theme song? Let's do it. Yes. Oh, I love it. Got my Spotify playlist going. Also, to add to what you had to say here, Natalie, Tom Bongs from the Discord also said that Aussies might also notice that John Farnham is in the soundtrack, and he is the patron saint of epic Aussie pub ballads. So if you want to go down that route on Spotify, oh, by the way, we may not be on Spotify right now. I understand that as well. So if you want to just find that person, go find him, turn it up. Because this soundtrack is full of hits. Next up, Galen from Los Angeles. This is good.
Hi, Paul. It's Galen from Los Angeles. And A, I love that you guys covered Voyage of the Rock Aliens. It is truly a gem to be treasured by all, and hopefully more will treasure it now. Also, I wanted to bring up that I thought it was worth mentioning that since you mentioned the pedigree of the director, I also thought worth mentioning that the cinematographer, Gilbert Taylor, has a staggering resume as well, including films like Hard Day's Night, Doctor Strangelove, and a little film called Star Wars. And I just love that he helped redefine the sci-fi genre with Star Wars, and then redefined it again with Rock Aliens. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yes, he did Star Wars. This is a movie that had a great lineage. I don't know what exactly happened. I mean, but honestly, whatever happened
was perfection. So I don't even want to think about it. But thank you for that. And finally, Steve in Indiana, what do you got to say?
Hey, Paul, this is Steve in Indiana. Just wanted to touch base with you on the name, the ABCD name. A couple of years ago, there was a big brouhaha, I want to say, in a Houston airport, because a mother had named her child ABCDE, and it was pronounced Absidy, but the airline attendant had mocked this little girl's name. At any rate, the mother took serious offense. But yeah, that name is oddly a thing. Maybe that lady was a fan of this film. I don't know. Love the podcast. Appreciate you guys. Also, Team Fred. Had to throw that in. Take care.
Well, Steve, you are 100% right. There is a Washington Post article about it from 2018. This gate agent made fun of the child. It is crazy to me that we live in this world where you would be making fun of a child. And, you know, look, I like the way that she pronounced ABCD more than the way that June pronounced it. But again, I prefer my pronunciation the most, which is ABCD. Anyway, people are terrible. People are trash. Thank you, Steve in Indiana, for showing us just how bad we can be. And look, any airline that makes you fight over a seat and thinks that that's like somehow making the experience more pleasurable, what do you expect? All right, back to the Discord. Jer Hink writes, the beginning of the chorus of Real Love in Voyage of the Rock Aliens uses the exact same notes as the beginning of the chorus of Mickey by Tony Basil. I've done a mashup. Well, hey, if you've done a mashup, Jer Hink, let's play it. Oh, I love it. Another song to add to the playlist. Where can we find that? Let us know on the Discord. And Catfish writes, no one asked the big question. Who won the Battle of the Bands? Team the Pack or Team the Rock Aliens? Look, here's what I'm going to say. There's no winning in art. They both brought a very interesting point of view. But I have to feel like the Rock Aliens lost, because if they won, they would have probably stayed on the planet, right? That's my gut. The Pack, I feel like, they had the local vote. You know, Rock Aliens are, they're just kind of, look, as much as we thought they were interesting and cool, they were not going to get the fan vote. And that's so important. It's when you enter a battle of bands, you need to stack the crowd. But according to the Discord, the Rock Aliens won the battle of bands. All I'm going to say to everybody there on the Discord is you're wrong. All right. So many great corrections and omissions this week, but there can only be one winner, one person who stood above the rest to create something that truly blew my mind. And I think I'm going to have to give that to Jer Hink, who mashed up Real Love and Mickey. I mean, come on. It was so, so good. And you know what? Even though you're not going to win a damn thing, we're going to give you a special song just for you, created by Francis Day. Francis, take it away.
You win nothing.
Nothing.
That's right. That is a winner theme. That's what you get to leave with. I always say you get nothing, but you got that, and you own that for 1 week. Enjoy it. All right, we'll be right back after this. How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive
And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix Is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix Is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. People, how is your social battery right now? You know what I'm talking about? You know, do you feel drained? Do you feel bursting with energy? Well, it's very easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. I mean, I do it all the time, but sometimes we have to figure out the right amount of socializing and maybe the right ways to recharge. Maybe you're an introverted extrovert. That's what I consider myself. Maybe you're just an introvert. You got to figure out how to pace yourself. And therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bonkers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bonkers. Hey, everybody. If you're in Los Angeles and you want to come out and see me and Rob Riggle and Rob Hubel perform improv with our group Dinosaur, we are live at Largo on February 6th at 8:30. It's Monday night. We are there. Everyone in the audience has to be vaxxed and they wear their masks and we do our testing before. So we make sure it's a safe environment. Largo is a safe place to see comedy in Los Angeles. So come out and see Dinosaur. It is a lot of fun. And now it's time for me to sit down with my good friend, Jason Mantzoukas, as we do a little bit of core chat. Hit the theme. Core chat with Jason and Paul. They'll probably mention something off your radar that you kind of like and something you don't care for at all. Welcome, Jason. That was Honest Jams. How are you, buddy?
You know, Paul, I'm doing all right. We're here. We are. We're still in Omicron surge.
In it.
I'm back in the house for the most part. So, you know, watching a lot of stuff. I'm excited to talk about stuff. I'm reading stuff. I'm like, my list again. Like the ebb and flow of the pandemic causes my list of things that I'm consuming to ebb and flow. So I'm excited to chat.
No, absolutely. I feel like I really made a concerted effort to watch and enjoy stuff for pleasure, which is something I don't often get a chance to do because like, oh, I feel like, oh, I have to see this because of X or I'm doing this for this.
So out of obligation. I rewatched all of the Matrix movies just to.
I did too.
Just to watch the new one. And I'll be honest, 2 and 3 were not that fun to rewatch.
I enjoyed
some fun
2.
Stuff, but
I enjoyed 2 a lot more than I remembered liking 2. I know it has some weak stuff, but I was like, "Oh, this is underrated. Like this is better than
It's better than 3 for sure.
3 is awful."
You know what like, I very much enjoyed though
what?
Was the Animatrix.
Oh, well
which I thought was a lot of which I thought was great.
Well, I think you see the similarities in Animatrix to what Star Wars did.
Yeah,
those,
Visions.
You know, the Visions, it was such a great way to kind of expand the universe. And in a way, I feel like I got, when I originally got so into the Animatrix that I think that made my disappointment of Matrix 2 even larger because I connected so much to what I saw there.
This was my first time. This was the first time I had seen the Animatrix. So
I had bought that DVD.
I was like, oh, this is great. I'm enjoying this.
Oh, yeah. It's really, now what did you think? And I know we don't have to make this a whole conversation, but just your gut
check on Matrix, the new one?
You know, I enjoyed it. It was fine. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. It wasn't, you know, but it doesn't matter what I want. Like, I'm glad that I'm glad it was made. And I thought there was a lot of like really interesting stuff inside of it. I loved getting to revisit this world and I liked the take on it. People were complaining about all the meta stuff, but I actually really enjoyed all of the meta stuff, you know, and I didn't miss the kind of, I feel like if it had been a retread and just as much guns and crazy chaos, blah, 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 I would have felt like, oh, this is just like trying to do the same thing. I liked that they were trying to do something new and interesting inside of that world. I didn't always think it worked, but I enjoyed it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I really was open to it. Like, yeah. I like what they did, and I feel like we hear all these complaints about, well, why did they just retread this, or they're just doing a remake of this, and this movie really cemented itself as like a meta commentary about these reboots and unnecessary remakes, but it also continued the story in a way that I thought was really interesting. I love Carrie Ann Moss and Keanu together and seeing them together. They were great. There was just a lot of really cool details. The only thing that I thought was a misstep, but apparently not a misstep, but I think it would have made the movie better, was they couldn't get Agent Smith. He was doing a play.
Yeah.
And that to me feels like, would have just had one extra layer if it was him, because you already were dealing with the Morpheus, which makes sense. And that was the story they were telling. It wasn't like they couldn't get him.
No. I agree. And I didn't mind at all the change in the actor playing Morpheus. But I agree. Like, if you could have had the triangle of Trinity, Neo, and Agent Smith, that would have been, I agree, that would have been a stronger play. And my understanding is he was meant to do it, Hugo Weaving, but then couldn't because of a conflict. And I thought Jonathan Groff did a great job embodying that kind of Agent Smith character.
Did a great job. It just would have visually been a little bit more interesting.
It would have been more satisfying, you know?
And I think it would have been also more interesting as an audience to see Agent Smith as his therapist, or not his therapist, or like as his boss, you know, and it would have been like, oh, like all of it would have just, it just would have symmetrically kind of fit together nicely. Like,
I enjoyed a lot of that, and I enjoyed a lot of what they were doing with, because it's so hard. It's really, when you think about it, The Matrix was a titanic movie for that generation of people. For it was such a big movie. So to even try and do this, it, to me, is like an incredible achievement to try and do at this point a fourth installment of this story and still do stuff that feels very much like not just looking back and being like an homage to the past, but really making it very present tense and a commentary on exactly what you just said, reboot culture, legacy reboots, all this kind of bullshit, even poking fun at, listen, if Warner Brothers is going to do it, whether we're on board or not, you know, like they're talking about the movie inside of the movie,
which I thought was great. And people were so angry about that. But I do think in rewatching all three Matrixes before that, I think I've gotten smarter and I think I've gotten to be a better movie watcher, you know, in a way too. And I'm like, oh, these movies had so much in them. But I think what people remember is the memification of it. Like just the floating as the bullets are going, bullet time.
People remember the kind of, I feel like what people forget is the philosophy of it. And not only do they forget it, they dismiss it as the worst part of the movies.
Yes.
But that's really what those movies were about. All of that philosophical quandary that people were like, no, I just want jumping, flying guns and bullet time. You know?
And I think look, there are issues with the third one, but I will say, like, the one thing that I thought was kind of the most like poignant moment in a way was at one point, there's not even an argument to be made. The Wachowskis have said that this was a metaphor for being trans, right? The original Matrix is like understanding that, coming to this realization. And when you watch the movie like that, the first movie like that, even with that in your head, it opens itself up. I thought I was watching it, like, and it was like, oh, wow, it's amazing. And then in the latest movie, there's like a line in there. It's like, well, you took my personal story and you've just made it about like guns and bullets. You've made them into posters on a wall.
I thought I was so glad. And I was so glad, too, that Lana Wachowski was able to make this movie and be in control of it and not have there just be some new Matrix that they are putting out into the world that Warner Brothers is just farming out
just
to people.
Which would have just been bullet time.
Which wouldn't have had the kind of elemental story points that I think are baked into the Matrix trilogy that are continued inside of and kind of really, like you said, put into the foreground of the fourth movie. Anyway, I enjoyed it.
And, you know, you and I have talked about this, and I think we should do it at one point, but in also watching The Matrix, I also watch all the Scream films and I watch all the new Spider-Man films. I was kind of lining up everything.
Bond films. I did the Spider-Mans.
Wow, all the Bonds.
Only the Daniel Craig.
Okay, got it.
I was going to say,
you know, Jason, it's pretty cheap for us to rent a theater to watch. You could watch Scream 5 or Spider-Man for $199 if you go in a midday movie.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we could sit on opposite sides, whatever you're comfortable with. I'll wear a mask.
That would be like at opposite ends of the theater.
For $200, I was like, I would do that.
I would do that too to watch like Dune, because like as much as I enjoy Dune, like I want to see Dune on a big screen. Like I'm mad that I didn't, you know, or some of these other movies that are true spectacle, you know, that are predicated on spectacle.
I did break it. The I saw Spider-Man that way in the theater on an afternoon film, and that was really fun. And also like a little bit nerve wracking because I bought my tickets before Omicron really hit LA and I went right when it was like, hey,
maybe not.
Yeah. and I really fought through it. I was a comedy version of myself. I put up my hoodie as if that was going to protect me.
That was
going
to keep out the particles and droplets.
I did double masks. I was like, and then I just was able to just sit back and enjoy
fun. That's great.
But yeah, it was quite a fun time. And I would recommend the Scream movies were an interesting trip too, although I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw any Scream movies beyond Scream 1. I don't think I ever saw any of the other ones.
I would be very curious to see what you think because it's
and I barely remember one, if I'm being honest. It did not make a dent in my kind of consciousness.
It's funny,
because I'm not a horror person.
I'm not a horror person either. That movie got me into horror because that movie came out at a time when I was at the right age group to be like, oh, I like this. I like Robert Rodriguez doing disturbing behavior. I like all like the fat, you know, disturbing behavior, Faculty, another Robert Rodriguez. Like there's a lot of these like softer horror films. Like for whatever reason, I didn't grow up with that Freddy Jason shit. So
yes,
like this was like, it's like X-Files-esque instead of like slasher.
It's not just
you know,
a gory slasher kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember that
about Scream is that that it was like a, you know, a send up of, or not a send up, but like a an examination of the beats of a horror movie, right?
Yeah, and then written by Kelvin Williamson.
That's what launched him, right?
Right. And then the sequel was also written by him. I think the sequel's relatively weaker than I remembered it. But then the movies just take a very bizarre turn. Like three is just like they lose all the meta.
Oh, okay.
But they kind of like have element. It's weird. Like the movies are never quite the same. They never quite find that balance again. And it's like, oh, a little bit too much of this, a little bit too much of that, or not enough of that. But you know, it's like, I will say the experience of watching all four back to back was just fun because they're just like, it's also like three, Jason, I really almost want you to watch three because three has one of the best.
By the way,
you probably could actually do it. Has like one of the best 90s casts of all time. It's Parker Posey is in it. Have like, I'll give you a couple of people that are, Parker Posey, Patrick Dempsey. Hold on. I'm trying to think. I'm going to pull up the thing here.
Oh my God. How funny.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming David Arquette and so forth.
David
are still
Arquette,
in, still, are yes. they in all of them? Right.
Yes. I mean, Parker Posey, Patrick Dempsey, Lance Henriksen.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. Carrie Fisher, uh-huh. Heather Matarazzo,
oh, wow.
Kevin Smith, Patrick
Funny.
Warburton, John, Josh Payas, who I think if you saw his face, you'd
oh,
know
I know who,
yes.
I know who he is. Character yeah. actor Josh Payas.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a great, like, you watch everybody that pops up, you're like, oh,
yeah,
cool,
yeah, yeah.
fun. It's a good, it's a,
oh, that's
yeah,
great. All
that
right.
I think I may have enjoyed it more for just like all these people popping in and out.
What else? I'm trying to think. I mentioned the other, at the end of our last episode, I don't know if it made it in, the movie The Rescue, the documentary mm-hmm. The Rescue, which is on Disney. And it is the story of, you might remember it. Do you remember the story of the Thai boys soccer team that were trapped in a flooded cave?
Yes.
And the rescue efforts to try and get them out? It is a documentary about that, and it is unbelievable. It's incredible. And it's just, everybody should watch it. It's amazing. And if you liked Free Solo, there's a great documentary called The Alpinist.
Alpinist is fantastic.
That I also thought was fantastic. And then just for laughs, the Super Dave Osborne documentary, the Super Bob Einstein movie is what it's called. But it's the documentary about Super Dave. And it's fucking hilarious. And it's basically like everybody in comedy talking about how influential Bob Einstein was, you know, and how crazy and funny. Because I'm sure you remember when Super Dave
yes,
would appear
Super
on
Dave
David Letterman or whatever.
And he had these specials on HBO that I looked forward to. It was so, you know, it was back in the time when you couldn't really Google anything. Like, you know, it wasn't like, so you were... You're like, oh wow, the Super Dave special is coming. You know, you heard about it or you taped it. It was really, really great. I am a fan of him and
even more so when you watch it, you're like, wow, what a great guy, what a fascinating comedy mind. Like, so interesting also, like, their family history. He's Albert Brooks's brother. Their father was an incredibly successful comedian in his own right. Like, and all the kind of tension inside the family. Like, really beautiful, really good documentary. I enjoyed it.
I still want to give a shout out to two shows that we may have talked about before, but I'll just mention them again because I've really been enjoying them. Our friend, the guy we perform improv with, Phil Augusta Jackson.
He's got
a great
show. It's
on
my list.
Called Grand Crew. That is so funny. Nicole Byer, Carl Tart.
Echo Kelly. Great cast.
And there's some people on that show that I've never seen before who are just killing it. I will also shout out our other friend, who I'm a big fan of, this show called Abbott Elementary,
which is another Quinta show.
Quinta Brunson, super funny. She wrote a book called like She Memes Well. And this show is just another, I feel like there are so few like good traditional sitcoms. Like I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine was one of those shows.
Absolutely.
And it's like, it makes you realize it's not that the art form is dead. It's just people aren't doing it very well. And then when you see them, it's like, oh, yeah, like Grand Crew is, it's funny. It's got heart. It feels relevant. These people feel real. Abbott Elementary has like the similar thing. It's like, oh, you can do these shows.
Well,
they're just rare.
It's that thing where you watch, well, like network sitcoms that are well done. Like in the past, I feel like ones that people singled out were like Community or Happy Endings.
But Community, I would even say, is like even more meta. Like I almost feel like
that's
that is
true. Community is even more out there. But like these these are shows. Grand Crew and Abbott Elementary are shows like in the mold of, you know, like what we're talking about, like Happy Endings or Parks and Rec, or they are
just a traditionally
great,
good, like, down
really
the middle
funny,
sitcom. Yeah.
Great writing, great performances, really funny network sitcoms. Really, I'm enjoying both. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're really, really fun.
And I'll also shout out Southside on HBO, which
is
a fantastic sitcom. And season 10 of Letterkenny has come out on Hulu, and it's
hilarious. I have not gotten up on that.
There's
yet,
only six episodes, so it's really easy to catch up.
I mean, I love Letterkenny.
It's fucking nuts. Oh, you know what I was going to mention just because, like, I wanted to mention a couple of things that were like, because you were talking about like when you get to do things without the kids, but I was going to, I have a couple of things that I'm like, oh, that would be maybe good with the kids, like all Ooh, ages okay. kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them is Aquaman, King of Atlantis.
Yes, which is
so funny and so, it's like animated Aquaman stories. There's only three of them, but they're like 45 minutes each. They're like little mini movies. They're a blast.
Is that on HBO Max?
It is on HBO Max, yes.
All right, I can't wait.
The show, the Netflix animated show Hilda that I'm obsessed with, just put out a movie called Hilda and the Mountain King, which is so beautiful and so great. And that is, of course, also worth watching. And, you know, like, I'm still going to shout out Infinity Train to people because it's so good, even though it's been canceled.
It's great.
And then I'll go into comics. And Chris Somney and Laura Somney, his wife, are doing a wonderful book, an all-ages book called Jonna and the Unpossible Monsters that is both a great, like, fantasy story and also beautifully drawn by Chris Somney.
All right, well, I'm going to recommend two things that I saw from the family side. One is just simple, but I got to say, like, Sing 2, big hit in this household.
Good?
Super fun. I mean, it's they kind of figured out something in that world where it's like the songs are pretty much these like great, like they're just great songs produced in a really fun way.
They're like known songs, right? They're not like originals,
like,
right?
It's like Rock like of Ages in a way. It's like,
okay, got it. Yeah.
So, but like Taron Egerton is singing his song. Like it's like,
it's not karaoke. I mean, like,
Covers, okay. Except for oddly at the end of Sing 2, they do a lot of original ones, which I did. That would probably be my biggest note is that they build up to a very big show and you're like, oh, these are all originals. Like I'm rocking out to Prince. I'm doing, but as a parent, also like you're always looking for things that you can watch with your kids that are like,
of course,
fun and of course, Nick Kroll is steals a show in that. But I'll also bring up this. I loved Ghost Story. I thought Ghost Story was a beautiful, beautiful movie, and I loved the Green Knight with both David Lowery's
movie. Yeah,
great, great films. What I didn't realize was when I saw Ghost Story. That he did this movie or he did a movie called Pete's Dragon, a live action remake of the classic Pete's Dragon. And I just recently re-showed that rewatched that, but I brought my kids with me to watch it. And it is beautiful. Like it is beautiful and it has
watched it actually.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Like I don't want to blow too much smoke at it because I want you to go in and enjoy it. But I would there's something very similar to E.T. and that film. It's just like beautiful, smart, great film. I really got excited about it. Like, it's fun because I think what really moved me about it was I saw my 7-year-old just bawl. And like it's like it's so rare. Like we watch all this fluff and bullshit, and it's like, you know, and it's like funny or weird or whatever it is. And to see him get so emotionally invested in this story, the only two times I've seen him do that, Toy Story, and then which is great, and then E.T. and this, just really connecting move. It's just a beautiful movie. So that's like a good.
Maybe I'll watch. Oh, that's a good idea. I watched Ron's Gone Wrong.
Oh, we watched that too. I was going to say that
was really fun.
Really fun. Yeah. And I feel like I don't know why this movie did not get more attention.
I don't either. I was surprised.
And by the way, I know we've talked about it before, but if you are again looking for something for the whole family, Mitchell versus the Machines is just also, one of the best movies. One of the best animated films.
One of the best movies of the year.
Yeah,
I watched it a bunch of times this year.
Yeah, it's really really good.
It's really great.
I feel like we always have to end on you giving some rapid fire music recs because you are always bringing in the heat.
What do I got?
If you don't have anything, I will recommend.
One of my favorite artists, Dan Behar, who is the band Destroyer, has a new song out. He has a new record coming out. I've only heard this song that he put out that is amazing. Tintaro, It's For You, or Tintoretto, It's For You. Sorry.
Okay.
Beautiful song. And I'm like, just like salivating, until this record comes out. Cause he's like, I think that's the last concert I saw before the pandemic as well. was his show. There's been a bunch of good stuff that I'm liking. Riley Walker, who's a musician I like, put out new stuff. Cat Power put out a new record of covers that is fantastic.
Ooh, I didn't know about that. Okay.
Yeah. She's been releasing them over the course of the last few months and then just put out the whole record, and it's great.
Well, I think we can't get better than that. Jason, we'll be back for another Quartet soon.
Can't wait.
And yeah,
stay safe,
wait.
Everybody.
Stay safe. We'll see you soon. Oh, so good to chat with Jason. We'll be back in the next mini episode to talk more about all the things that we like, and we hope that you like them too. But specifically, we're going to get into Boba Fett. Jason and I, big, big fans. I love The Peacemaker right now on HBO Max. We're going to talk about that as well. So catch up so you can listen to us geek out about that. But now that we've got Voyage of the Rock Aliens out of the way, let's talk about next week's movie. We are going from the mean streets of Spielberg to getting romantic in the 1876 type of way. That's right. Next week, we are watching Kate and Leopold. Here's a short breakdown. Kate McKay is a modern-day executive in a 21st century world. Leopold is the third Duke of Albany. He's a charming gent and the bachelor of the 1800s. With a career and social expectations looming, each has grown cynical about the very notion of falling in love. But when a rip in the fabric of time thrusts Leopold into present-day New York, well, 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 the potential for a good old-fashioned modern romance ignites. That's right. Meg Ryan is in this great movie that I remember them shooting on the block that I lived in New York, and I was very excited about it. The film rates as a 51% on the tomato meter with a 62% audience score. Laura Bushell from the BBC.com says, "This movie is hilarious at times, unbearably soppy at others. Kate and Leopold is comfortable viewing for old romantics." Let's go listen to the trailer.
In 1876, Leopold, Duke of Albany, was a bachelor.
Take a wife.
With few prospects. In 2001...
I still don't have the data. I can't do analysis unless you give me numbers.
Kate McKay has a successful career.
You're a rarity among women, Kate.
And no life. But now, it's time for a change.
I found it.
A portal into 1876. I followed the Duke of Albany around old New York.
The Duke.
Yes, here's the kicker.
He followed me home.
Kate and Leopold is available to buy or rent on Vudu or Amazon Prime. It's also available on HBO Max with a subscription. Or please check your local public libraries and tell them How Did This Get Made sent you. That's right. You can find all these movies for free on the app in your local public library that allows you to stream movies. Yeah, they got an app. Figure it out. You'll do it. I trust you. And people, that's it. That's the show. Thank you for listening. And remember to rate and review. It helps. Visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Make sure you tune in for Matinee Mondays, where we re-release an old episode of the show every Monday. And you can follow us on all the social medias. And if you want to listen to this show commercial-free, you can do that by signing up for Stitcher Premium. You can get a one-month free trial using the code BONKERS. That's BONKERS. Thank you to our super producer, Cody, Molly, our sound engineer, Devin, the amazing Avril Halley, our movie picker, our staff at Earwolf, especially July Diaz, and we'll see you next week for a brand new episode of How Did This Get Made?
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.